And for a bonus section on Star Wars, I went to see Star Wars. I was I'm not that big into Star Wars. I think it's fine, and it's nostalgic to watch it.
Yeah.
But I thought the new Star Wars film was the best of all the Star Wars films.
Yes, I agree. I went to the 5 past midnight screening on the Thursday morning, and I really enjoyed it.
Who was there? Who were you there with?
I was there with actually another presenter from GFM, Peter Warwick Mahoney, who presents sort of like a.
Well, there were a lot of people dressed up.
There were a lot of cosplayers. There were a couple of families there as well. This is at five past midnight. Yeah,
long.
It was full. I mean, actually, no. There was more than one screening at the Cineworld in Yeovil that I went to.
Wow.
And that screening was full, and all the other screens were full as well. It was incredible.
Were people excited and pleased?
Yes. Excited, pleased, moved. I think that I tentatively sort of skim read the reviews before I went to see it. I didn't mm-hmm. really look that much. I didn't watch too much promotional material beforehand. Mm-hmm. But from that first opening shot, after the opening crawl, that first opening shot of the Star Destroyer going in front of the planet, I thought,
this is Star Wars.
This is Star Wars, and I'm on board with this. And from then on, when they introduced the new cast members, I was just, how much charisma does John Boyega have? I mean, John Boyega could have charisma with a carpet, for goodness sake. You know, he's just an incredible star in the making, isn't he?
Yeah.
Just fantastic.
I thought Rey was absolutely excellent.
Yeah, fantastic.
And who's the guy who's the ex-stormtrooper?
That was John Boyega. That's
John Boyega, yeah. I thought he was Finn. Brilliant. Yeah. And the only thing about him was he probably in real life would have had to do a bit more adjusting to being a normal person.
Yeah.
After being brainwashed for his entire life.
Yes.
But he was great.
He was great. Rey is fantastic. It's gratifying to see that in an age of blockbusters that have very few strong female leads, that Rey, although doesn't probably get enough screen time, never has a conversation with anyone about boys or anything like that. The important conversations that she has with another woman is about a lightsaber and about the Force, which is here's an interesting fact: is that the little Force vision that Rey has in about 3/4 of the way into the film, when she touches the lightsaber.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Ewan McGregor came in and did some dialogue for that.
As
Obi-Wan, yeah.
Right.
And Frank Oz recorded some Yoda dialogue, but they ended up using stuff from The Empire Strikes Back instead.
Mm-hmm.
And they also used some Alec Guinness dialogue as well from Star Wars for that Force stream, which I thought was very effective.
Yeah, it worked.
Very, very effective, very powerful. And I think that the final lightsaber battle between her and Kylo Ren was probably the best lightsaber battle I've seen in a Star Wars movie.
It was like in The Empire Strikes Back or something, you know. It was about the characters and the plot, not about
dancing around
choreography. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
And there's an amazing point in that when he says, "You can't control the Force," and she says, "The Force," and just closes her eyes and then opens them, and you see just a complete change in the way that she's thinking about this lightsaber battle.
Yeah, my only concern with her is that if she's that good without any training, she's off the scale Force good, which surely...
Maybe she isn't. Maybe she got lucky. Kylo Ren is actually not a very good dark side because he lets his anger consume him, doesn't he? He smashes... Mm. One of the funniest scenes in the film is when he's smashing up a console in a room.
And
a couple of stormtroopers come around the corner and quickly walk away.
I think what's interesting about that character is that he is essentially a petulant teenager.
Yes.
And the petulant teenager from the films that we shall never mention again was unbelievably annoying and rubbish.
Oh, just awful.
I think that he, as a petulant teenager, he's okay.
He's utterly believable as a petulant teenager. And, you know, we are going into spoiler territory here. I mean, we've already done spoilers, but...
It's been out for a while now.
It has. The scene where he meets his father, Han Solo, and takes off, Kylo Ren takes off his mask. And, you know, Han Solo says, come back with me, you know, it's all going to be okay. And Kylo Ren says something like, it's tearing me apart inside. And his face changes from being a petulant teenager to being a scared little boy who's out of his depth. And then it changes back. And that is just some fantastic movie acting. It's all for the camera, you know, and it's everything in this movie is everything that was absent from those dreadful prequels.
Absolutely. And even the... There's all kinds of references back, but they're not like nods to the marketing department, you know. They're plot points, you know.
Yeah.
The characters that are in it because of the gravitas that they bring, not because you can sell more Star Wars toys with them.
Yeah.
You know, everything about it, you know, the new characters are what are actually driving the plot, and those characters are a bit like some of the characters from Episode 4, but not in a copying way, just in a way that kind of reflects and echoes, you know, just they just got it right.
They got it absolutely right in every single way. And Han Solo and Chewbacca, how funny are they?
Yeah.
As a comedy double act where Chewbacca doesn't even speak English, he manages to convey humour simply by nodding his head in a certain way.
Yeah.
There's a couple of great lines when Han says, I'm just going to talk my way out of it, and Chewie makes a little grunt, and he turns to him and says, yes, I always do, and it's just so funny. It's so funny.
I think people may be interested who are listening in whether... they should take younger kids to it.
Okay, so I would say that it's safe for 9-year-olds and over, to be honest.
So I can give you my experience of that.
Okay.
So I would not... you have to make the decision yourself completely. But I took my 6-year-old, my 8-year-old and my 9-year-old.
Yeah.
And at one point, the 6-year-old had to sit on my lap because it was very intense, and not particularly because of the emotional things that happened, but just the action.
Yeah.
But as we walked out of the cinema, he said, Dad, can we go and buy that and watch it again now?
Yes.
So, you know, that gives you...
That's it.
That gives you a little summary. Whether it was wise to take him, I don't know. But we talked about it beforehand, my wife and I, and we just seem to have a blind spot for Star Wars. We let them watch the Star Wars films well before we would have let them watch anything else that has that kind of content in it.
Yeah. Well, they're all U certificates apart from Revenge of the Sith, which is a 12A. And
yeah, but some of them have got, there's quite a lot of, you know, mild fantasy violence or whatever you call it.
Yeah, and that's the stuff that the BBFC. BBFC have a podcast, by the way, which is very interesting. But they talk a lot about the difference between fantasy violence and real violence, and why fantasy violence is more acceptable at a 12A than real violence would be. But the 12A is an advisory certificate, so a cinema can't stop you from taking a young child in. It's up to the parent to decide whether they want to take them or not.
Yeah, and it was really stretching it to take a 6-year-old. You know, potentially crazy, but we looked at the BBFC information about it.
Yeah.
And it, what it says is moderate violence, I think.
Yeah.
Frequent moderate violence. And yeah, to me, that's a description of quite a lot of the other Star Wars films, and that was my feeling.
Really. I think so. I think that parents will know, you know, whether it's the right thing to do or not. But so interestingly...
I think it's worth people hearing from me that, personally, I don't think it's any more... intense violence than quite a lot of the other Star Wars films.
No, that is important to say. Yeah, definitely.
So I really don't know why it's a 12A, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. But
exercise caution.
Yeah, that's fair. You would know your kids better than we do, obviously, listener. So I went to see it at that 5 past midnight screening, and then I discussed it on the radio with Peter, who I went to see it with, and Ian, who also has a show after me. Ian Liversidge presents a local music show. and we discussed it for like 45 minutes between the three of us. And then I went to see it again on the Sunday and took the whole family, and I was looking forward to it even more than I was for the premiere, but for that early morning screening, because I don't think I really took it all in when I went to the early morning screening. And when I went back, I was even more engaged with it the second time.
I'm really looking forward to watching it again. And if that isn't a vote of confidence, I don't know what is.
And my wife, who is not a Star Wars fan, she's seen Empire Strikes Back and enjoyed it. She said, it's brilliant. The Force Awakens is brilliant. You know,
It's just really entertaining.
Yeah, it is.
It's got a plot.
It's got a plot. It's got good acting. It's well directed. It's beautifully designed. It's made with love and affection. Yeah.
By people that understand how to tell a story and what a story is.
Yeah, and I find this harping by people who say that George Lucas should be brought back to direct Episode 9 to be just incredible sour grapes.
Who's saying that?
Oh, a bunch of people. Somebody started a petition saying that Colin Trevorrow should be thrown off and George Lucas should be reinstated as director for Episode 9. I just don't know where they're coming from. I don't know what they're smoking or drinking to be have this.
George Lucas made one good Star Wars film.
Yeah, he made one good Star Wars film, but he is responsible for this rich world of Star Wars.
Great. Well done him.
And well done
him. Let's keep him out of it.
Yeah, I mean, he's sold Lucasfilm. He's made a lot of money out of it. Let Disney do the business with it.
Do it properly.
Yes, exactly. One thing that was strange, I had some cognitive dissonance at the beginning. There was no 20th Century Fox fanfare.
Right.
And I didn't really know what to expect there. You know, I thought, is there going to be a Disney lead-in? Mm-hmm. But there was nothing. There was just a Lucasfilm logo.
Yeah.
And then we're straight in. And that was a bit weird. That sort of pulls you out of it momentarily.
Yeah.
And then you're in. And then it's... the other thing that's interesting is that when Star Wars released in 77... Fox had dropped their fanfare, but actually John Williams re-recorded the fanfare for Star Wars, solely for Star Wars, and then they started using it again after that.
Why? Because he liked it?
Because it was such a huge movie, I think. You know, Yeah.
Anyway, unequivocally go and see it.
Yeah, go see it. I've realised we've gone on for quite a long time, and
that wasn't a bonus.
We should probably
double bonus, up. Super double bonus,
super double emergency bonus.
Anyway, see you next time.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.